Yes, good evening everyone. Welcome to Beit Gavriel. And again, thank you for TorahAnytime.com to giving us this opportunity that so many people all over the world is watching us, as Shimon just mentioned. And I myself see it all over. I get emails from all over, from Europe, from Amsterdam, from places. I even heard people watching Pakistan. I hope it's not Bin Laden, you know. But anyway, speaking, I just heard the announcement that Shimon just made about Torah Anytime. I can't help by starting with a story before we go into the subject that we have tonight, which is a very interesting topic tonight. I am sure you're going to all be impressed from what we have to say tonight. But before that, I just read yesterday an unbelievable story, real story from life. I'm sure every one of you know Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak. Perhaps, I'm almost sure that he's the number one Mekarev in Kiruv in this generation, in the entire world, in all languages, probably. But not that many people know how he started. Many, many years ago, I believe approximately 25 years ago, something like that, I myself was listening to him 15 years ago, and by then he was already speaking for years. So about 22, 25 years ago, something like that, he himself became Baal Tshuva. Yeah, he was one of the guys from the gang. He saw the truth. He started to progress, and he became, Baruch Hashem, fully Haredi, fully religious. And then the ways of God is to show people their destiny in life. Every one of us has a unique mission. We have to head somewhere. And besides keeping the regular, ordinary mitzvot, each one of us has a unique mission in this life. Sometimes we have to sweat a lot until we realize what our mission is. Sometimes we only discover it age 60 years old. It's not late. That was a part of the plan. But that's not the topic right now. The point was that right away he realized that his job in life is to make other Jews close to Hashem. Why? He started to see that when he speaks to his friends, neighbors, relatives, one after the other get affected from what he has to say. So if you speak to 10 people and 3-4 of them became religious after a month, what do you realize right away? Hey, I'm doing a good job. Hashem helping me. That's what I gotta do. That's how it was by me, by the way. Nobody thinks, oh, I'm gonna become a professional speaker and speak every night. It happened as life goes by, you know? You speak to another one and another one, then you have 7 people coming to hear you, and then after 6 months you have now 20, and all of a sudden you find yourself speaking to hundreds of people every week. That's how it is. So he saw that he's doing very well speaking to people. He decided to open Shofar Organization. It's a famous organization. They have a website. Thousands of people go every week there. And what happened is he decided to come to America to collect money to open up this Kiruv organization. Kiruv means bringing people closer to Hashem. That's what it means, Kiruv, in Hebrew. So he came to America. He went to stay by a Jew. I don't know who was that Jew that opened up the door for him to stay in his house for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, that person told him, you know, I'm sorry, Rabbi, but we have guests coming for Shabbos. Maybe you find yourself a place to go for another, you know, for Shabbat after 2 weeks. And he said, no problem, I'll find a place. But this is what he says, that in these 2 weeks, he went from one Jew into the other, from one to the other, wealthy people, asked them to support his cause. Believe it or not, I'm very embarrassed to quote from the story, not one person gave him $1 even. No exaggeration. 2 weeks, just try to imagine the frustration. You want to do something volunteering for others, you need some money to start an organization. Not one person wants to give him a dollar. A dollar. 2 weeks. He was so upset. And he found himself an hour before Shabbat, a place. An hour before Shabbat, he couldn't find a place to go. Finally, one guy opened the door for him to come for him for Shabbat. In Motzei Shabbat, Shabbat ended, he came to that horse that he had, and he told him his story. For 2 weeks, 2 weeks I'm suffering. 2 weeks. Not one person gave me a dollar. And now, I think that maybe I should just give up. Maybe that's not, after all, what I have to do. So the guy saw that he's so upset. He told him, I know a wealthy guy here in Brooklyn. This guy gives charity almost to everybody. Whenever I send him a rabbi, he always gives something. Let me take you over there. Maybe he'll give you something, will cheer you up. I said, okay. So Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak said, Hashem, that's it. It's my last chance now. If this Jew will close the door for me and will not give me anything, tomorrow morning I get on a plane, I go back to Israel, enough, finish Kiruv. Before it started, it's all over. I don't care. I wanted partners to this mitzvah. Nobody wants. I cannot do it alone. Goodbye. And if he's going to give me, that's a sign that I shouldn't give up. So it's all depend on that person. He went to that person. He opened up the door, Motzei Shabbos. He saw that he came with his friend. He didn't ask that many questions. He went to his bedroom. He brought $1,000 cash. He gave it to him. He said, I'm in a rush. Goodbye. Shavua tov. Here, $1,000. Goodbye. Don't bother me. That's what it means. Don't bother me. We're in a rush. Here, take the $1,000. Just leave. Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, after 2 weeks, he didn't get a dollar. He said, wow, $1,000 in 1 minute. I guess this guy can do a lot more if he doesn't know me. So he told me, no, I have to talk to you 5 minutes. If you want, I'll come back. 5 minutes, just give me. And the Jew is a Jew. What is he going to say? No, don't come in. Okay, come in for 5 minutes. No problem. He came in. He started to tell him who he is and the importance of this mitzvah. He said, okay, wait right here. He went back into his bedroom. Nice bedroom there. He came back with $10,000. $10,000 20-something years ago. It's like 30 or 40 today, for those who understand inflation. He went there, he brought another $10,000 from his room, and he gave him the money. So Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, in one of his lectures, this is what he said. I am going to read from here. I wrote it word by word. He said, in one of his lectures, he was very angry. He was in a very bad mood. And he was saying that story. When he got to that part, he said like this, I'm sure that this Jew has a world to come better than anyone you can think of. And I know that this Jew doesn't want me to say his name, but I don't care. I'm going to say his name anyway. I'm going to say it anyway. What's his name? No, what's his name? His name, Rav Chaim Yudel Goldstein. That's his name. Remember this name. Chaim Yudel Goldstein. As Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak said, but today, this Mr. Goldstein lost all his money. He became very poor. Not only that, on top of all that, he's facing 3 years in federal prison for something happened in his business, whatever. He says, how ungrateful we, the Jews, can be. How ungrateful. Thousands of people knocked on his doors, he helped each one of them in the years that he had money. This Rabbi Goldstein, today, that he needs a little help from people, not one person came to ask him, do you need me to help you? Do you need a loan? Do you need money? Not only that nobody came forward to help him, to run after him. Maybe it's an opportunity to give you something in return. When they saw him on the street, they crossed the street. He started to scream in his lecture, ungrateful! How ungrateful you can be! Everybody is egoistic. So he got very angry about this. So, what do we learn from this? This Goldstein, in a million years, you do as many mitzvot as you want, in a million years, he won't get to his Olam Haba. Why? How many people they made religious? at least without any doubt, more than 10,000 people. Without any doubt. It all belongs to him. Prison, not prison. This life, it's a blink of the eye. Before you realize it's over. Jail, not jail. Lost your money. Made millions. It's all nonsense. It will be over before you even realize it. The Gemara says when the people die, they look at their world at the last 78 years that they live. It looks like keheref ayin, like a blink of the eye. What's a blink of the eye? A person blink about 15, 20 times a minute. He doesn't even realize. It's so short, it's over. Nobody cares. Anybody cares how many times you blink in a minute? That's how this life is. One blink, it's over. It looks a long life. We have plans, we build, we're going to invest, we buy, we sell, we have all these things. Before you realize it's over. That's reminded me. What reminded me this story? That we have to, I mean, not we, but the people who, Baruch Hashem, run Torah anytime, instead of people run after them like crazy in the street. Hey, Shimon, where are you? I'm looking for your wig. Here is 1,000. Here is 5,000. Here is my 10% for my income. To run after them, give me an opportunity to invest in an opportunity to earn eternity. We want to collect $5 a week. You have no idea what an embarrassment every Jew that had an opportunity to help. Not only that, there's many great causes of Kiruv, but that's perhaps one of the best in the world. It became an empire. Look, you see, in 2 years, who did such a thing in 2 years? 1,500 lectures, 90 speakers, everybody in Israel, everywhere you go, Europe, everybody knows this website. It means Hashem blessed it. Because Hashem loves people that do for the sake of heaven. I remember when I made my first movie, Divine Information, it was made in such terrible conditions, in a house with a small non-professional camera. Regular lecture. I went to Israel, I gave a lecture. The owner of the house filmed the lecture. 6 months later, we made a movie. First movie in a Jewish world. Nobody ever thought about making movies with proofs. There was no DVDs yet, nothing. All of a sudden, 10,000 we give out every month for years. More than 500,000 copies. Such blessing. Non-professional. Wasn't filmed in a studio. The sound is nothing. There's not one thing to say about this. The most successful video in the history of the Jewish world. All the singers in Israel, the best singers in the history of Israel, in the best scenario, they sell 100,000 DVDs or records. That's already like a platina record, gold. They have all these titles. More than 500,000, and we're still giving it out. That's the opportunity to remind you that I just came up with a new DVD, Baruch Hashem. It took a few years. It's very difficult to make one. This time it's 3.5 hours. It's like 3 or 4 in one. My personal belief is that every non-religious Jew that will watch this DVD will never ever stay the same he was until the moment he watched it. Once he's gonna watch it, that's it. No more questions about Hashem. Everybody will know the Torah is from Hashem. Everybody will know that every word in the Gemara is from its divine. Everyone will know there's life after life. Everybody will realize that every step you make, you're going to be judged eventually for good or bad. People will realize that life is not a picnic. It's work, no? It's work. It's work to give it to a guy. You give it to a family, 5 people, they can become religious for the price of 1 slice of pizza. 1 pizza, give up a pizza a day. 1 slice a day, 5 Jews will watch it a day. 1 Jew will start put tefillin, your king. Every day he puts tefillin, he goes to your account. What's better, pizza, 1 second of pleasure, or mitzvah tefillin every day? I want to tell you a story about tefillin. One guy came to Rav Silver from Cincinnati, and he started to talk to him. And Rav Silver realized that this person knows a lot of Torah, a lot of Gemara. So he told him, what is this? You used to be religious? So he said, yes. So what made you like this? You look like a goy. He said, I'm a Holocaust survivor. That's why I'm like this. He said, so there are many Holocaust survivors that they're big rabbis today. Why are you like this? He said, I saw something in the camp that did not leave me a choice. I had to leave religion. Tell me the story, he says. So there was one Jew over there. The Jews were standing 17 hours a day in the heat without food. Not one piece of bread. Not one cup of water for days like this, standing dizzy all day. They just make them stand because there was nothing for them to do. They just make them stand 17 hours a day like this. Try to think. You stand 5 minutes in a supermarket, you're going like this. Left, right. Oh, your back hurts. It's not... 17 hours like this without food. 5 minutes before sunset, one guy tells his friend, hey, Fischel, 5 minutes before Shkia, before sunset. Say, well, what do you want from me now? So we didn't put tefillin today. 5 more minutes, we have to put tefillin. What are we going to do? Gotta put tefillin. 17 hours, he doesn't eat. He's 99% dead person already. There's only one thing in his mind. I'm going to miss a day of tefillin. This will never return this day. So, there was one Jew over there. He got a pair of tefillin. Somehow, he got a pair of tefillin. That's like treasure, pair of tefillin. 6 in the morning, minutes before they start the working day, he was hiding somewhere by the trees, and the Jews are going, they stand on line to put tefillin. Quick, Shema Israel, 2 minutes, up, next, 2 minutes, not to miss the mitzvah. We live in palaces, in the best condition, beautiful shoes. Rabbi, tefillin, it's too hard for me. 2 minutes a day, two minutes is a lot. It's very difficult. They were giving their life for it. But that Jew that owned the tefillin was a very cruel, wicked person. He did not let them put the tefillin free of charge. No. He wanted something in return. Either money, which nobody had, piece of bread. Some people had a piece of bread. Or if anything they had, a cigarette, something that worth something. If you do not have, the people were begging him, let me put tefillin. Something you must give me. I don't have anything. Look, check. Nothing. Check. I have nothing. You can't put tefillin. Throw him out of the line. So that Jew, he said, I saw religious. Religion is all business. That's what it is. I don't want to do anything to do with this. That's it. I left the religion. You see me? That's the reason. Rabbi Silver told him, you're such a fool. What a fool you are. Why didn't you choose to learn from all these hero Jews that sacrificed their life, the last piece of bread they had, not to miss one mitzvah from the Torah. Instead of learning from this hero, from all these heroes that were standing every day online, you chose this Hitler to learn from him, this Rasha. Why are you giving me excuses? He looked at the rabbi for the first time in his life, after 30 years after the Holocaust, started to cry like a kid in front of all the people there. Rabbi was screaming at him. How didn't I think? 30 years, you live in a lie. You miss billions of mitzvot because you're a fool. Why didn't you learn from all these heroes? You chose to learn from this cruel person to leave religion. What's this excuse? Tonight's lecture is the psychological part of the human being. Or maybe I should find a better name for this lecture. Categorizing people to different categories. Before I go into the details, I want everybody to understand one thing that some people don't know, or even if they know, they don't like to know. When today you rate people, Jews, non-Jews, male, female, white, black, smart, stupid, whatever you want, when you categorize people, what's the nickname you get right away? Racist. This guy is racist, he's dangerous. Don't listen to him. It's racism. It's against the constitution of this country. What is this? It's prejudiced. It's, I have all kinds of names here, you know. But what can I do that if you read carefully the book of God, the Torah, you see that the creator of mankind rated people based on who they are and what they are. You see right in the Torah. In the beginning of the creation, when man and woman was created, the man was created first, the woman was created from the man. God wanted her to know right away, you are not as important as the man. You are created for him. If there is no man, we don't need you here. If there is man, I need you here. I created you as an assistant to the boss. They don't like to hear it. Feminism. This rabbi thinks we're in Iran. Rabbi, we're in the 21st century. It's not the rabbi, it's the Torah. Read inside the Torah. The creator told you, yes, you have rights, you deserve respect, you deserve to get a lot of gifts, attention, love, good husband, caring husband, help you in the house, take you around, whatever, no problem. You also even got a lot of compliments in the Torah, that you're wise, even wiser, and all kinds of compliments. It's not a contradiction. It's no contradiction. You can be a Kohen. The guy next to you is a Levi. Kohen is better than Levi. Hashem said, is that means the Levi has to be jealous because the other guy, Hashem say, is better? The opposite. You should say, Hashem say that you Kohen, I'm less than you. And I'm not a Kohen, not a Levi. So I'm less than both of them. I'm perfectly fine with that. If the Kohen made himself better, I have a very, very serious problem with him. Who are you? You're just a proud person. But if my creator and his creator told me he comes before you, you gotta give him respect. He goes to the Torah first, because he's a Kohen. Why he deserve to go first? Because his father was Kohen, and his grandfather is Aaron a Kohen, is more important than you. You have a problem with that? No, Hashem, I accept it. That's one thing. Then we have Jews and non-Jews. The non-Jews that believe in God and they're honest, they themselves admit, announcing all over, that the Jews are the chosen people. They admit that the Jews comes before them. They are more important than them. Why? Because the creator of mankind decided that. I'm not even going into the reasons for that right now. Because there's many reasons for everything. That's not the time to go into the... But Hashem rated people based on their race, based on their kind, based on their nationality, even among the Gentiles. Not every goy is equal to the other. If one goy came from the nation of Amalek, and one of them came from a different nation, the Amalek is the worst in the whole list. So among the goyim, some is considered more important than the other. Also, there are groups of Gentiles that were cursed inside the Torah, either by God or by righteous people, such as Noah, that cursed his grandson. So certain people in the creation are cursed, and you see throughout history that their life were bitter because of that curse. Well, again, we're not going into the reasons. So remember, there are different levels and different rating to different people, male, female, black, white, Jews, non-Jews. The creator of the world is the only one who is authorized to rate people because he created all of them. If Mercedes made Mercedes 500, 600, 400, 300, they decided that 600 is the best, you're not going to go and argue with them. You're the manufacturer. You know better than me. You decided this car is better. That's why it costs double. Why you don't go and argue with Mercedes? It's not fair. The small one should be double than the big one. Why? Because you know it's not in your hand. Let's see what the Torah has to tell us about the categories of people. But we have to know. There is a natural categories, natural rating, that means in the moment you're born, you already have certain rating. It's not in your hand. It's nature. You're born to a Kohen father, oh, you got lucky. You're born to, chas v'shalom, a married woman that cheated on her husband, you're in the lowest level. It's called mamzer, a bastard. The last in the list. You have all kinds of restrictions and your life probably is going to be very bad. Why? From the moment you're born, you have a rating. The best, mediocre, the worst, it's not in your hand. It started like this, nobody asks you. That's it. But, there is ratings that depend on our free choice. It's in our hand. For instance, even a mamzer, a bastard, that really wasn't his choice. He was born out of a sin of two people. If he will invest in learning and become a serious Talmid Chacham, a knowledgeable rabbi, automatically he jumped to the top of the rating. That means even though naturally Kohen is much more important than him, if the Kohen is ignorant and he doesn't know Torah and the bastard is a Talmid Chacham, you have to accept him first. You give him the first aliyah. You give him the gap of wine to make Kiddush. He comes before the Kohen. But if the Kohen is a Talmid Chacham and the Mamzer is Talmid Chacham, then it's the same ratio. The Kohen comes first. It's equal and equal. Kohen has an advantage. So some of the ratings is really in our hands. When a person is able to elevate himself to a higher level, what's the criteria? What's the test? What does a person has to do to jump to a higher category every few months or every few years? The answer is correct is midot, is personality, correct is traits. There are certain recommendations in the Torah, they're written in the Oral Torah, that if you follow, you jump in a much higher level of rating. I want to give you some examples. As we start, the Gemara and Chazal, the sages, that all the information that we receive, it's all come from Mount Sinai and passed from generation to generation. They are sharing people, mankind, to different categories in different subjects, different fields. For instance, there are five kinds of human being. Five kinds of human being. One, it's called Bur. Second called Am Haaretz. Third called Golem. Fourth called Tzadik. Five called Chassid. Again, Bur, the worst. Above him, Am Haaretz. Above him, Golem. In Israel, if you tell somebody you're such a Golem, that's the last word he ever will speak to you. Why? Because they're ignorant. We wish to be Golem. Soon I'll explain what each one means. Then you see Golem is not so bad. Somewhere in a good place in the middle. Then Tzaddik, righteous. And then Chassid, the highest Madrega, the highest level. Let's see. Bu means a person that has no knowledge in Torah, no wisdom, no knowledge, and terrible personality. Anger, stingy, lazy, narrow eye, cruel, many different bad things about him. On top of that, no knowledge whatsoever. That's called Bur. Above him, someone who is Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz means a person that doesn't know Torah, but has good personality. Humbled, generous, respect rabbis, respect the Torah, nice to his wife, good father, is a hard-working man, wake up early 5 in the morning every morning, but doesn't know anything Torah. You ask him one page of Gemara, thank you, one page of Gemara, he doesn't even know how to read Rashi. He doesn't know which side is Rashi, which side is Tosfot. No knowledge. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihya Bidvaro. No, that's okay, thank you. Thank you. Now, next level, it's a golem. Golem means he has Torah, and he has good personality overall, but he needs improvement in both fields. He needs to improve his Torah, it's not perfect. He gotta make it more perfect. And he has to correct his personality 10% in each category. Anger, do a little better. Don't be stingy. You are generous. You can be a little more. You can work on your anger. You can work on your laziness a little bit. Just needs improvement. Like the final, like with the diamonds, you need just another 5%, it will become perfect. But right now it's not perfect. That's golem. We wish to be golem. People in Israel, my teacher used to tell me every day that I'm a golem. I used to get offended if I only knew that it's a compliment. Then the next madrega is righteous. Righteous person. So that means tzaddik, he has Torah, of course, and he has derech eretz, he has good midot. But one of the two needs improvement. Which one? He has Torah, and he has good personality. So his personality, his midot, needs improvement. It's not perfect. And then we have the chassid, which is perfect in both fields. His personality, his traits, is perfect. He worked and correct every negative things that he had in his life. You never see him get angry. He's never going to be jealous. He's never going to say Lashon Hara about anyone. He's always volunteer to help everybody. He's davening with all his heart. He's learning Torah as much as he just can. He's watching his eyes. He's a great father. He's a perfect person. And knowledgeable in every field in the Torah, that's called Hasid. Today, everyone who has a $200 hat and a long black coat and a long beard, which is, the beard is for free, the yarmulke is for $2. Everybody, Hasid, Hasidim, Hasid, Hasid. Check one by one, you see most of them are not even going to the first category of Bur. But that's the nature, the way of the world. What are you? How many hours you learn Torah a day? I'm busy. I have a store. How many hours? 15 minutes a day I learn. So why they call you chassid? 15 minutes a day? How can you be chassid? The Torah say, en ha'aretz chassid. Someone who doesn't have knowledge and he doesn't work on his personality cannot be tzaddik, cannot be keeping the mitzvot. He has no knowledge. He doesn't know what needs to be done. How do you expect him to be perfect? If you don't know what needs to be done, you can do. Only if you know what needs to be done, you have a chance to do it. Then, another categories that Chazal gave, four different categories in opinions of the people, in their mind. Four different categories. One is a person that easily getting angry. Every little thing gets him upset. Oof. Such a nutnik. Again? What's wrong with you? All day he screams. At work, at the house, in a bus, everywhere he goes, in traffic. Can't control his mouth. Something that doesn't go his way, he must make the person realize, you're not doing what I want. Always complaining. That's called noach lik'os. But at the same time, noach liratzot. It's easy to get him angry, but it's also very easy to calm him down. Moshe, relax, take a cup of water, don't take it to your heart. Okay, okay, I'm okay. You just were like a fire. A minute later, like nothing happened, smiling, you know, walking around. Just a minute ago, he was willing to kill someone. A minute later, it's never happened. That's one kind of people. Chazal say, Yatsa Scharo Be'efsedo, is a mediocre level, somewhere around 50%. Then the second kind of people, Kashe Lik'os VeKashe L'Ratzot, is almost impossible to make him angry. He has a lot of patience, and he's very calm down. No, he doesn't have temper, this guy. But if you get him angry, you're going to have to sweat years until he's going to forgive you. It's going to remind you 17 years later that you owe him $5. That because of you, his pen got lost 25 years ago. But until you get him angry, it's going to be a mission. Chazal say, Yatsa efsedo beschavo, also mediocre, around 50%. That's his rate. Kashe lik'os venoach leratzot. Very difficult to get him angry and very easy to cheer him up. Very difficult to get him angry. Once in 10 years he gets angry. Once every 5 years. And as soon as you say, I'm sorry, okay, nothing happened. Forget about it. Oh, it's all over. What's the rating of someone like this? Chassid. Very high level. 90 to 100%. Chassid. Very good. The fourth category, write down which one you belong to and give me the paper in the end. We'll see how we're doing. The fourth category, noach likos vekashe leratzot. Very difficult, very almost impossible to cheer him up, and very easy you get him angry. Every little thing gets him upset, almost impossible to cheer him up. No forgiveness, he doesn't want to accept any apologies. He gives you a look, you know you're finished. You know the story about the king. The king was looking for a waiter. Nobody wanted to be the waiter because this king, if the waiter messed up, he gives him a look. Tomorrow they hang him in the middle of town. That's how cruel this king was. One Jew, 16 years old, was looking for a job. And the economy is doing very bad. And he couldn't find a job. He wants to be a waiter. So they told him there's an opening job by the palace of the king. But you know, he pays double than the average job, but you only make it a week or two and then you're finished. So the Jews say, listen, life and death is in the hand of Hashem. What do we have to be worry about? If I deserve to die, I die without the king. Let me go get the job. So he came to work for the king. One day there was a great convention. All the people came to sit with the king. The king was sitting in the head of the table. The Jew came to serve him a soup. As he came close to the king, bad luck, one drop of the soup was flying right into the tie of the king. The king looked at his tie. It got red like a tomato. He looks at that Jew. Everybody knows that Jew is finished. The Jew knew that they warned him. When you see this look, you have to start saying Kaddish on your soul. So the Jew said, what, I'm going to let him kill me like this for one drop? He took the entire bowl of soup right to the face of the king. And it's hot. All over his clothes. The king got up. Everybody's shocked. Something like this never happened in the history of this country. The king is dripping. People are holding their head. Wow, how is going to chop this Jew to pieces? The king said, take him right away, right now. We hang him. Not tomorrow, right now. Everybody runs after them. They take this Jew. They prepare the rope. As the rope is around his neck, the king was very curious. How this kid has such chutzpah to do such a thing? I gotta find out what's going on here. Maybe he's crazy. He came to that Jew, he said, hey, Moshe. He says, can I ask you a question? Where did you get this chutzpah that you did such a thing to me? Where? So the boy say, I really don't have any chutzpah. I really appreciate you and like you very much. That's why I did it to you. Like very much. So I tell you, when one drop of the soup came to your thigh, nobody saw it in the audience. You're going to kill me for nothing. All the entire people here, they're going to say, what a crazy king. He killed innocent people for nothing. They hate you. One day they rebel against you. What do you think? So I gave you a reason to kill me. Like this, everybody say you're honest, you're decent. You killed me because I now deserve to die. That's why I spilled the soup. What difference for you it makes? Now you kill me, I deserve to die. Before you kill me, I'm innocent. You kill an innocent person. So the king said, wow, I didn't know. Take the rope out of his neck, Maher. You're going to work for me forever. You'll be my advisor. Ben Ishchai wrote in his story, Ben Ishchai wrote this. He said, Chaim v'amavet b'yad ha-lashon. Life and death depend on what comes out of your mouth. Then, let's go, continue. One king was getting also very angry at his people, but he was more clever than this king. He told his servant, You know me, when I get angry, I like to chop people's head off. Do me a favor. Take the sword, put it in the end of the palace. That whenever I scream, get me the sword, I want to cut this guy's head off. By the time you go to get me the sword, until you come back, I relax. Like this, I don't kill any innocent people. Every time he was screaming, by the time they go and they wait 5-10 minutes until they bring the sword, by the time they come with the sword, he say, okay, we'll give him another chance. Like this, he never killed anyone. Why? He was a clever king. He knew his weakness, and he found a medicine for his weakness. That's why they say, before you hit your child, go stand 5 minutes in the room, and then hit him. After 5 minutes, you don't want to touch him. Most of the time, you take your frustration and your anger on the innocent kid. If after 5 minutes, you still have to give him a patch, that means he deserves it. But wait 5 minutes. Make a rule. Before I attack him, give me 5 minutes in the room with myself. After 5 minutes, you analyze it. You say, what's that? The boy didn't do anything. I just had a bad day at work. Mr. Williams didn't sign the contract. The bank found something in the closing. They put money in escrow. Who pays the price? 6-year-old boy. So now, let's move to the next category. 4 different measurements in the students that comes to learn Torah. 4 different categories. 1, Maher Lishmoa Umaher Laabed. He understands right away everything he hears. But tomorrow he forgets everything. Bad memory. What did you learn yesterday, Moshe? Yesterday we learned? When? What time? Where? Who was the rabbi? What do you mean? Yesterday you told me everything. A minute after the shiur, you repeated the entire shiur. Now you don't remember? That's some people. There's reasons why your memory doesn't work. There's reasons for that. It's not the time to mention it. But Maher Lishmoa Umaher Laabed. He understands right away and he forgets everything right away. It's like filling up water in a bucket with a hole. Like wasting time. Then the second category is Kashe Lishmoa VeKashe Laabed. He doesn't understand almost anything. 10% of what he hears, he understands. But when he finally understands the 10%, you wake him up in the middle of the night after 20 years, he will tell you what he understood. But it was only 10%. 90% he doesn't catch. But the little he catch, he remembers forever. What do you think? What's the mark for this guy? What category you put him? From A to D. A, B, C, and D. Which one? Huh? Yatsa efsedo b'scharo. Also, not impressive. Maher lishmoa v'kashe leabed. Understand everything quickly, very sharp, and remembers everything. Like Rabbi Ovadia. You speak, you begin to say a word or two, he understands the entire picture. And, yeah, that's okay. He goes like this. It's okay, I got it. You come 8 years later, he'll tell you word by word of everything you spoke to him 8 years ago. Well, that's called chacham. That's what it means, chacham. And kashe lishmoa umaher laabed ze chelek ra. That's a complete fool. What's a complete fool? Doesn't understand anything, and finally when he understood 5-10%, a minute later he forgot. The Gemara says, Rabbi Freda had a student. He was teaching him every day the same page of Gemara 400 times. 400 times! What rabbis they used to have. Go tell the Rosh Yeshiva, teach me 4 times the same page. Come on, don't you see I'm busy? I have time for this. 400 times! One time the rabbi had a business meeting. Afternoon. He came to the yeshiva, he said, hey, Yitzchak, do me a favor. Today try to focus on every word I say, because at 2 o'clock I have a meeting. I want to finish fast. I'm going to be busy. 1 o'clock they arrive, they finish the page 400 times. The rabbi say, clear, you got it? The student say, rabbi, Today I did not understand one word. So I said, just today when I need you to understand, to every day after 400 times you catch it. What happened today? So from the moment you came into the yeshiva and you told me you have a business meeting, I got so nervous, I couldn't focus on everything. The Gemara said, the rabbi said, okay, forget about the business meeting. Torah comes first. He said, from the beginning to the end, and taught him the entire Gemara. No? What do you think? For free. Free of charge. That's Rabbi Preda. And Torah says he got a part in a world to come in the highest level. So, that's four categories in the students. Four different categories in charity givers. People who give tzedakah, charity, you can rate them and share them to four different categories. Let's see which part we belong to. A, he wants to give tzedakah, but he doesn't want anybody else also to give tzedakah. When they collect, he wants to do everything. He has a lot of money. He wants to buy all the aliyot. They want to collect money for the shul. What happened? I guess we didn't collect money for the electric. We'll be right back after the commercials. Huh? What happened? Maybe I pressed the button by mistake. Okay, so we'll continue. So, he wants to give everything. If somebody else also wants, no. If you take from others, I don't do it. You want, I'll do for the entire shul. I build it from A to Z and put my name on it. Make sure that everybody will know I build it. Somebody like that, what's his name? What's his title? Chazal says, no. Thank you. I realized it. So somebody like that called Eino Ra'a B'Shel Acherim, narrowed eyes. It's an expression in Hebrew, tzar ayin. He cannot stand that other people will give or will benefit. He wants to do the entire thing. There used to be a rabbi, his name was Rav Yonatan Eifshitz. Rav Yonatan Eifshitz was one of the biggest chachamim 200 years ago. And one time, he had a chevruta. He used to learn with him. He was a redhead, very hot-tempered person. One time they built a church across the street and they put a big cross in the roof of that church. That chevruta of him was learning with him, looking from the window, he see this cross in front of his eyes. He told the rabbi, tonight I'm going to clear the entire roof from this thing. The rabbi told him, I don't suggest you play with fire, they're not fools, these guys. They're going to expect that to happen. Be careful. No, I cannot see it. I can't see it in front of my eyes. So he said, I can't help it. I gotta get rid of it. In the middle of the night, he came on the top of the yeshiva, on top of the church, and the Christians were waiting for him with a sack. As soon as he came with a flashlight there, right away they put the sack on top of his head. They tie him, they took him down to the basement, disappeared. The next day, everybody's looking for him in yeshiva, his wife. Nobody knows where he is, except the rabbi. The rabbi knew what was his plan. They probably kidnapped him. So the rabbi said, all right, what are we going to do? There is one guard in the church. Let's try to bribe him to release the Jew. It's a big mitzvah to release the Jew from the prison. So he went to that goy. He said, listen, you're working in this church. Why don't you release the Jew? We know it's by you. So the guy told him, no problem. You bring $100,000 cash. You meet me over here. We'll release him. I'll release him. So the rabbi said, okay, give me a few days to collect the money. We call the students from the yeshiva, everybody close their gemara, we have an emergency, go to all the Jews in town, collect money, we got to release this Jew. The rabbi waited a day, 2 days, 3 days. What happened? He asked the student, we didn't collect even half of the amount. He remembered that his wife have money from the time of the wedding that her parents gave her. It's in a safe in the house. He opened up the safe in the middle of the night, exactly $100,000 over there. Jewelry, money. He collected everything in a bag. He comes to this goy. He say, here is the money. Release the Jew. They release the Jew. He told his friend, you gotta leave town because they're gonna find you in the street. They'll kidnap you again. So the redhead Jew disappeared. He moved out of town. Then the rabbi say, wow, what did I do? I saved the Jew and I finished myself. When my wife will open the safe, she see all the money is gone. I'm finished. I have an idea. Let me go myself also out of town for a week. By the time I return, she'll relax. So he told his wife, I have something important to do. I'll be back in a week. He went and disappeared for a week. After a week, he came back. His wife is waiting by the door, dancing. What's going on here? I didn't expect her to dance. I wanted her to relax, but to dance? She lost all her money. She said, what a genius husband I have. Look, she showed him a barrel full of gold, full of diamonds, full of everything. He said, what's that? He said, you know what you did? You went behind my back. You wanted to do the entire mitzvah yourself. You gave him the money. The goyim realized that he's a traitor. He betrayed them. So they took him. They said, we're going to kill you instead of the Jew. And he doesn't have a wife. They're not allowed to have a wife. So he said, listen, I don't have anybody. He came, he knocked on my door. Where is your husband? I said, my husband went away. He'll be back in a few days. This is all for your husband. Your husband is a good man. He gave all the money that you have for his friend to save him. Is the only person that I think deserves this money. This money that I have, I stole money from people's pockets. 30 years I work for churches. All the money I stole in my life, it's right here. I have nobody to give it to. They're going to kill me in a few hours. Give it to your husband. What would you do if you be Rav Yonatan Leibschitz? Huh? You make a party and order Chinese. Right? On the house. Barrel, $1 million in a barrel. Who cares about the Chinese now? Bring everything. Bring Ashpolo, bring whatever. Rabbi, no problem. It can be glad kosher. Don't save today. Today, you're allowed to get strictly kosher. No saving today. I got a barrel full of gold. The rabbi sat on the floor and started to cry. What are you doing? He said, you don't realize, huh? Hashem is not happy with my mitzvah. Because the Torah said that when Hashem is happy from your mitzvot, He doesn't pay you in this life. Only the wicked people get paid in this life. The righteous people, their reward is being on hold for the next life because it's an eternal reward. The Torah say, I'm paying the wicked people cash to their face to get rid of them. It's a sentence in the Torah. That's why he started to cry. We make such a party. Wow, I'm such a tzaddik. You see, Hashem is showing me right away a miracle. In a minute, we became billionaires. Wow. The rabbi realized, no. Why Hashem got upset at him? Because Hashem doesn't like greedy people. When there is a mitzvah and you have other partners, you should have waited another day that all the students will bring their money. Everybody will have a part in this important mitzvah that's called Pidyon Shvuim. You went and did it on your own, you will receive your reward right here. I'm not giving you anything in Olam Haba, but that's why the rabbi was crying. Then, the second category is, he wants other to give, but he doesn't want to give anything. Rabbi, my stomach, I'll be right back, I'm going to the bathroom. When they sell the Aliyot in Yom Kippur, he became a tzaddik, he read the entire Tehillim. What's with you? Tehillim. Cannot give now. Now I'm reading Tehillim. Don't bother me. Rabbi, business is tough. I'm sponsoring 5 yeshivot. What? Excuses everybody has. He doesn't want to give anything. But hey, I have a friend. I'll make you an appointment with him. Don't worry. My wife's grandmother, she has a lot of money. She's afraid to eat. She doesn't go to the bathroom that she won't have to eat. So she saves all her money. I'll make you an appointment with her. No, no, don't bother me. I have enough on my head. I'll make you an appointment. Don't worry. What's a guy like this called? We laugh, but sometimes this is exactly the way we are. That's called Eno Ra'a Beshelo. The first one, Eno Ra'a Beshel Acherim. His eye is narrowed about the others. Here, his eye is narrowed in his own money. The third category, he wants to give and is very happy to convince others to give. Oh, very good. No, I gave. Why don't you also give? Call his friend. Why don't you participate? Help the shul. Help the yeshiva. Help Torah anytime. Why only me? You also participate. Believe me, it's worth it for you. That's called what? A chassid, the highest level, should know one secret that probably you've never heard of. What count bigger mitzvah? If they need $1 million for the yeshiva, and you gave the $1 million out of your money, you wrote a check and you gave $1 million to the yeshiva. Wow, thanks to the yeshiva, will survive another year now. Or you convinced another Jew to give $1 million. Where do you get a higher reward? When you convince another Jew to give. Did you know that? Gadol ha-me'aseh yoter min ha-oseh. If you make other Jews make mitzvot, it's count higher than when you make the mitzvah yourself. And that's a bonus that God gave us. Why did he do it? Because he wanted us to influence others to become righteous. That's why someone who makes people religious is in the highest level in the world to come. It's a special department. Nobody enters there. Even the biggest rabbis in the history, they're not going there. Only Jews that influence others to become religious. They have a special department, a VIP. Special VIP. Yes, that's what the Zohar said. The Zohar is in Parashat Truma. If you want to see the source, Zohar Parashat Truma. Why? You cared about my other sons, that means you love me. You only care about yourself, you love yourself, you don't love me. You care for other Jews, you sponsor, you do. You bring them into lectures. You give them links to the websites that show Torah, all of them. Why? Because you care about Hashem. Hashem is in sorrow, in pain, that his children are far away from the truth. Who's going to wake them up? It's in your hand and you don't care. That shows you don't love me. You only love yourself. If you love me, you care about your brothers. That's very simple. So that's, he wants to give, and he wants others to give. And the fourth category, he doesn't want to give, and it kills him if somebody else gave. You fool. How many times I told you don't give any money? They're rich here. Don't you see what a nice shul? It's all business here. Don't give money to this place. You want, I'll take you somewhere else to give money. Don't give money here. Believe me, what do you mean? I'm davening here every day. So what? They have enough money. You don't know what's going on here behind the scenes. You make up a whole story. What? God forbid this guy will not sponsor or give money to the place. He cannot live it like this to see it. So that's called Tzar Ayin, with himself and with others. That's called Rasha, wicked. The next category is people in intelligence. Intelligence. One person called a sponge. Who wants to be a sponge here? Raise his hand. A sponge. Huh? You gamble. You say whatever it is, it has to be something good. A sponge is... The nature of the sponge is that it absorbs everything, the good with the bad. Clean water, bad water, oil, everything it absorbs. That means you come to a lecture, the speaker say important things and things that are not so important. He says some jokes. Everybody likes jokes. Rabbi, You spoke for an hour and a half, not one joke you gave. How can you be a speaker? Today people like to laugh. You have to make jokes. Okay, so you make 5 jokes in the lecture. Maybe it's time to say a joke. When you ask the people after the lecture, what did you remember? They remember everything, the good and the bad. They also remember the jokes. At least they remember the good. That's a sponge. But the problem is that they cannot tell the difference in the importance between the Torah and the jokes. Sometimes in the lecture there are stories. The story is not so important. The message is important. The message. But nobody cares about the message. They care about the jokes and the beautiful stories. But what about the Torah? It's boring, Rabbi. The jokes. Wow, wow, what a speaker this guy is. So funny. He's so entertaining. That's the way we are today. Check the average people, see if they all like this or not. Then, the second category, it's called mashpech. What do you call this mashpech that you fill it up with water and you water the garden with this? Pitcher? Thank you. Pitcher. The second category, it's a pitcher. Who wants to be a pitcher? Sure? A pitcher. Everything comes from here and go out right away from there. As he hears, everything goes out. Most people, check me out. You ask them after the lecture, who was the speaker? Rabbi X. What was the lecture about? A minute after. I don't know. It was. He doesn't remember a minute from the lecture. Everything went in, went out. That's called a pitcher. The third category is what? No, what do you say? It's called meshameret. It's a special net to screen things. Meshameret, you screen the wine. The wine is pieces of grapes. And the seeds of the grapes, you gotta clean it up from the wine when you prepare wine from the barrel, right? So what's the main thing? The wine or the pieces, the peels, the seeds? What's more important when you clean the wine from the seeds? What do you keep? You keep the seeds and the peels, or you keep the liquid? Liquid. So that's removing the wine, which is the main thing, out of the garbage. Is that good or bad? Huh? All the wine is dripping on the floor and all the peels stay in your hand. That's a fool. He comes to the lecture, the speaker spoke an hour and a half words of wisdom from the Torah. You ask him in the end of the lecture, what do you remember from the lecture? He remembered the 2 jokes. That's it. What about the lecture? There was a lecture? I thought it's a comedy show. He only remembered the jokes. That's a fool. That's called meshameret. And the next one, the next category is what? Nafa. It's also screening. But this time it screens the good out of the bad. The sand is falling and the rice or the wheat is staying inside the net. So the garbage falls out and the good stays. That's a person that comes here in our lecture. He knows to conclude in 10 minutes all the important things that were said in the lecture. He made some comments. Tomorrow he's going to a place, he has to give a speech. He's going to be able to repeat the entire lecture because he memorized the main things of the lectures. What's not important, he screens out. What's important is in his conscience. That's the highest level. If you're not like this, you cannot be Talmid Chacham. You gotta know, when you read books, not every word in a book you have to remember. You have to know what's important, what's not. You take a marker and you mark. It's important, we have to mark it. This. Sometimes, only 10% of the book is critical. The rest is just beautiful things, just to make it more a little bit entertaining. But what do we care? That's the message. I have to understand what's the message. So that's 4 categories in intelligence. Now we should know. In order for a person to be Talmid Chacham is the highest level. Highest level. It's called a very knowledgeable scholar. He has to have 48 conditions in order for him to be a perfect human being. You ready? You ready for the 48 conditions? We don't have that much time. I hope I'm going to make it. Let's go in the list of the 48 conditions. First, the Torah says, this is the way of the Torah. Pat b'melach tuchal, eat bread with salt. Mayim b'meshorat tishteh, drink water in a tool, nothing fancy, from the faucet, don't worry about it. Al ha'aretz tishan, you can sleep on a mattress on the floor, it doesn't bother you. Chayei tzar tichyeh, your life is very simple, no fancy food, no fancy clothing, no car, very simple basement that you live in. Your life, as far as material, you have nothing. The minimum of the minimum. Uvatorah ta'amel, all your efforts and your time, your mind is 100% inside the Torah. What's the result? Ashrecha v'tov lach ba'olam hazeh. Ashrecha v'tov lach ba'olam haba. You are the luckiest person in this world, and nevertheless, you are the luckiest person in the world to come. Now I have a question. You are the luckiest person in the world to come. There's no arguments, because you have tons of Torah. You learn Torah all your life. You are not busy with televisions, with vacations, with all kinds of shows. You were busy all your life in the Torah, so you earned the most reward. But why? It says you're the luckiest in this life. That's what I don't get. Who has the answer? Ashrecha ba'olam, what do you mean ashrei? I eat stale bread and water from the faucet, that's what my food is. I sleep on a cheap mattress on the floor. My house is dripping, it's small. There's hardly a place to sleep. My children sleep one on top of the other, like they are in Jerusalem in this small apartment, 7 kids on one bed. Ashrei ba'olam hazeh? Give me $1 million, a bigger house, 2 more cars. Then I understand, my life is much more convenient here. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh. You know why? Because the psychology of the person is, it doesn't matter at all what you have. It's only matter what you are missing, what you want to have. That's going to determine if you'll be happy or miserable. It doesn't matter what you have. You can have millions. You are a very poor person in your mind. Why? Because you have a goal, and you are very far from your goal, so you are missing another 10 million, and it kills you every day, because your brother already have a building, and you only own a little apartment. Even though it's worth $2 million in Manhattan, but it's only one apartment. My brother has a building. My friend has 2 buildings. Look at my friends, they all made it. And I have nothing compared to them. My lie, I'm a loser, I didn't make it. His mind, what should I have? Where do I want to move to live? That's the mind of the person. So the point is like this, when a person lives simple life, and he gets used to live simple life, he never miss anything. He has no dreams about anything. It's complete and happy. Happiness is only when you are not attracted to anything physical. Anything material doesn't bother you. You have nice bed, very nice. You don't have, also very nice. It's anyway temporary here, who cares? If you're going to drive a car, a test, you want to get your driver's license, and the test is only 5 minutes, do you care if you have air condition or not in these 5 minutes? Okay, so the air condition is broken. Do you care if the radio doesn't work? Who cares? Do you care if the chair, the seat is not so comfortable? What is this? I'm 5 minutes here and I get my own car. What? I'm getting the permit and I move on with my life. I care about this car. Do you care if the car is white or red? Do you care if it has a sunroof? Or the tires is brand new or old? Who cares? Why you don't care? Because over here you understand it's only 5 minutes. But this life, you have an illusion. Oh, it's long. You forgot, it's a blink of the eye before you realize it's over. But how much efforts you put to make this life fancy? How much efforts? killing, stealing, going to jail, courts, argument, fights. Moments before you die, Mr. Li, the doctor from China, will come with a little bottle. Hey, Mr. Moskowitz, I have the solution for your cancer. Here, drink this bottle. You get up like a brand new person. Give it to me. No, no, no. We checked your account. You have $100 million. I'm leaving you a million. I'm very generous with you. Sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here. 99 million comes to my account, Mr. Li. And I leave you 1 million. And there's no guarantee. Maybe you'll be healthy, maybe not. But today you don't die, for sure. Today, you won't die. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, maybe 5 years. Only God knows. Moskowitz will sign with two hands. Make sure he signs in Hebrew and in English. Why? He wants the $1 medicine. It's called $1, the ingredients. The Chinese doctor is saying, hey, these herbs, I bought it for $1 in Chinatown. But you don't know the ingredients. That's the cure to your problem. So the answer is, why you worked 50 years, you kill yourself, vacations, you don't take. Wife, you give up. Children, you don't have time for them. Flying, running, trying, advertisement, driving, traffic. Get up every morning, 6 o'clock. So much agony and pain. You save this $100 million and in the end, you give now 50 years of effort to get one more day of life. Such a bad investment, you're such a fool. 50 years of life you gave. Maybe you live another day, but today you have the days you do nothing with them. Check your day from 24 hours. How much of that you're doing something positive? If you're lucky, an hour a day. If you're lucky, 10 minutes here, mincha, 10 minutes. From the 10 minutes, you think about the prayer maybe 5 seconds. Only in the beginning. Asher asher betecha, and then your mind is, wow, today was a tough day in the business. My wife is waiting, the Chinese getting cold. You know, your mind is never in the davening, in the learning, in Hashem's. One guy came to the Rebbe from Kotsk. He said, Rabbi, I see that the mission in this life is to think about Hashem constantly. I can't focus on that. I'm trying all day to think about Hashem. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. But I can't. I think about the baseball. I think about this. I think about my secretary. I think about the new girl that came to work in the office. I cannot think about Hashem. You know, what do you want me to do? What, I really want to think about Hashem. What do you think? I hate Hashem? What do you think? I'm ungrateful? What, don't you think I know that Hashem, everything I have, Hashem gives me? What, I don't know that Hashem is watching over me and see what I'm doing and write everything in His book? I know that. I learned it a million times. But what can I do? I cannot think about Hashem. Give me the solution. Give me an advice. How do I think about Hashem all day? The rabbi say, you want to think about Hashem all day? I'll show you how you do it. He called two gangsters from the street, come up. Take this guy into the lake and wait for me over there. They grab him. What's rabbi? What's going on? Take him to the lake. The rabbi comes, he stands by the lake. He tells the guy, drown him. Push him in. He's trying to resist the two gangsters. They push him down under the water. He's trying to come out. 20 seconds under the water, they pull him out. He has a second to breathe, they push him in. In, out, like this for an hour. After an hour, this guy is already dizzy. The rabbi says, okay, enough for today. Enough. So, you rabbi? You sure you rabbi? So the rabbi say, did you get the answer? So which answer? Did I ask anything? I forgot already. He said, what's the answer, Rabbi? He said, tell me, when you are under the water, how long you thought about your business when you were underneath? Business? Who cares about the business? I wanted to leave. Oh, you're beginning to catch. When you are under the water, you had only one thing in your mind. Oxygen, air. I need to leave, air, air. What about your wife? Who cares about her? What about your children? I have children. What about your buildings? Tomorrow you have closing on a big building. You're going to be a rich man. Rich man, I care about rich men. All I want is free air, free, free of charge. Give me air to breathe. Why? Because the person knows always to think about, always to think about the most important and the most urgent thing that you need. If in your mind you convince yourself that the most important thing for you is money, that's what you think about all the time. If baseball is the most important thing for you, that's what you think all the time. If desires and sins with ladies, that's all what you're thinking all about. If you know the Torah, it's the most valuable treasure, that's what you think all about. If you realize the most important thing in this life is to be glued, stuck together, one piece with Hashem, that's all you think all about. It's all in the mind. First, you have to recognize what's the best investment. To be close to Hashem? That's what I want to do. If you don't recognize it, why should you think about Hashem? Baseball is more important. Television, sports, vacation, that's what's important. No. It's all in the mind. I want to finish, because time is up. Just to read you the list of the 48 things that a person needs in order for me to be, in order for him to be a perfect human being. I have 2 more minutes. Let's try to do it. One is Talmud, to sit and learn every open minutes that you have. To listen carefully to every word. To repeat. Not enough to learn once. You have to repeat at least 4 times everything you learn. Then you have to develop your wisdom. Over the years, if you work on your wisdom and you learn hard things, your brain becomes sharper and sharper and it thinks better. Why? It's like muscle. The more you practice, the better the muscle becomes. The more your brain works very hard, the better it becomes over the years. And you can see, the smartest people in the world is people who learn Gemara for many years. They're very sharp. You make a beep, they know what is it all about, right away. Why? The brain is very sharp and focusing. Always. And they can concentrate for a long time. Today, people sit in a lecture, after 5 minutes, they get crazy. Their mind is destroying them. It goes to all over the world. It goes to Japan, it backs to Israel, goes to the news, goes to the sport, goes to the business, goes to his wife, goes to his back pain. And in the end, 5 minutes from the lecture, he listens. Why? The brain is very rusty. It cannot focus. Why? It's empty from knowledge. It's not used to work hard. It's like a muscle that cannot pick 5 pounds. Why? It never lift weight. How can he pick 5 pounds? He's not used to it. He's a very, very lazy person. He never lifted weights. But after a year, he lifts 100 pounds because the muscle got his practice. So, that's called Binata Lev. Then, Ema, fear from Hashem, respect for Hashem. Hashem is watching me. Cannot be a clown. I have to be serious. Then, Anava. You must be humble. The more humble you are, the better you'll be successful in your Torah knowledge. Happy all the time. Always happy. No matter whether you had a good day, bad day, you force yourself always to remember everything is temporary. I must be happy. Happy. Second, you have to serve the Chachamim. You have to stick to them. You drive them, you help them, you carry their books. You go with them to the house. Everything, you stick to them because you want to follow the things that they do. Because nothing is better than to see in your own eyes how perfect people behave. When you stick to the tzaddik 1 week, you learn in 1 week what you don't learn in a book's years. What you learn from a tzaddik by being with him a week, every word, every move he makes, how he goes to sleep, how he wake up, how he learn, how he speak to people, how he behave to his wife, what he does in his house, you want to be like him. That's a great example. Second, another thing, you have to be nice to every human being. Never to insult people, no gossip, no fighting with people, no anger, no attitude. Must work on this trait. Pilpul chachamim. Make your learning interesting. Learn, repeat, ask, question, answer. Don't learn boring. Just make it interesting. It gets you into it. Another thing is you have to learn Mikra, which is Chumash, the Torah, Mishnah, Mishnayot, Gemara, all these things. Not only learning one thing. You have to learn a part of the Torah in different hours of the day. You have to sleep very little. Mi'ut Shena. Maximum 6 hours. Not more than that. The more you sleep, the more tired you become. If you sleep 6 hours, everything I say, I'm talking for men. I'm sorry, ladies. You're going to know what to tell your husbands and your sons. If you sleep 6 hours, it's perfect. If you sleep 10 hours, you are more tired. The brain is more tired. It overslept. That's the way it is. Try it and see that it's true. Mi'ut sicha. Never to talk unless if it's necessary. Don't talk about the weather and about the news and about the market and about the government and about the elections. It's a waste of life. Just speak about what's really important if you want to be a big Talmid Chacham. Mi'ut ta'anug. Don't seek for any physical pleasure. Don't be a joker all the time just to laugh and to joke about things. Be serious. Mi'ut derech eretz. Don't waste too much time on working. The little you can do, that's what you have to do. You need money just to survive today. You need to work 2 hours today, close the store and go back home. Or go back to the yeshiva and sit and learn. Today I have what to eat. Today I have what to live. It's enough for today. Tomorrow it's another day. Hashem will take care of me. No saving, no working 20 hours a day because you need one day to marry your children in 30 years from now. Today I have what to eat. Today I have enough to eat. I gotta go learn Torah. Tomorrow, Hashem is no problem. He fed me today, he'll feed me tomorrow. Don't worry. Then, to be erech hapayim, to have patience for every person. Patience to people who learn you learn with. Lev tov, to work on your heart, to become a person with a great heart. Not cruel, not to take revenge against people, or to all do all kinds of bad things. Emunat chachamim, everything your rabbi is teaching you, don't be a wise guy. No problem. Amen. I accept. Put your pride down. Kabbalat ha'isurim. Be happy when you suffer. It's all for good. Suffering cleans you. The more you suffer, the more you get close to Hashem. That's the magic medicine. Suffering brings you close to Hashem. You have everything, you don't need Hashem. You're far from Him. If your father gave you $10 million, he's here, take the money. Go. You don't need your father anymore. You call him once a year. If your father give you every day the money, every day, Abba, Abba, how are you today? I'm on my way. Why? You need him. That's why you're close to him. That's the way it works. Hamakir et mekomo, you recognize your level. You don't hold yourself more than what you really are. Who am I? I'm nothing. What do you think? I'm somebody important. I'm nothing. I'm really nothing. Comparing me to this guy is a million times better. Today it's the opposite. He knows 2 words to say. He gives, wow, such an impression. This guy is a genius. Ask him really what he knows. In less than a minute, he will forget everything. Then, Sameach Bechelko, satisfied with everything you have. Baruch Hashem, whatever I have, that's what I need. I don't need more than that. I'm very happy. Thank you. Oseh Siag Ledvarav. Be very careful before you talk what you say. Make sure you think before. Eno machzik tova la'atzmo. Never think you deserve any reward. Oh, Hashem owes me a lot. This guy owe me. This girl owe me. My parents owe me. My brother owe me. My neighbors owe me.
The government owe me. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody. You owe them. Nobody owes you anything. Be ahuv. Make sure everybody loves you. You don't have enemies. You have to work very hard for that. Even if you write, surrender to them. Cheer them up. Apologize. Send them a nice letter, nice card. Until everybody loves you. Love Hashem with all your heart. Love every person with all your heart. Be very generous. Search to do for others and give a lot of charity. Be very happy when a person puts you down and tell you what's wrong about you. Tell him, thank you. I'm going to work on it. Who are you to tell me what to do? Did I give you permission? What is this? Chutzpah. You're 1 year in yeshiva. I'm 20 years here. You're telling me what to do? You're telling me that I daven too fast? You're telling me that I don't pay attention to the Kaddish? What is this chutzpah? You have no derech eretz. No, that's not the right way. The right way, thank you very much. I take it to my consideration. If a dog barks at you, Hashem send him. Wake up. He chose you and not your friend. Your friend was 2 steps away from you. Why he barked at you? Because Hashem is barking at you. Wake up. Wake up. You saw this dog? What a cruel creature. Dangerous. Then, Oev Meisharim, always admit on the truth. Search for the truth. Be honest. Run away from honor. Never be proud about his knowledge. Run away from being a rabbi. They want to give you a job. I'm not interested. Rabbi, you're going to be the head of the shul. Nice salary. A driver. Not interested. Here, this guy is better than me. Take him. What do you mean? We need... Come. No. Noseh ba'olim chavero. Never to be egoistic. Always to help everyone around you. You sleep in a dormitory, you clean. More than them. Don't wait until your friend cleans your garbage. You have to cook, so you cook. You have to open up the place, you be there to open up the place. You have to clean with everyone, you clean. Today, everybody run away. We have to pick up the chairs. 5 people stay, 100 people run away right away. Why? Hashem is watching. That's what we forget. And Machriya lekaf zchut, do not suspect people. Give them the benefits of the doubt. Always looking for peace. Never argue with people. Ask a lot of questions from the rabbis that teach you. Do everything you can to find the right answers. Learn in order for teach others. Don't be egoistic. Teach others. Give from your knowledge to others. Learn in one reason. To do. Not just to know. To do. If you learn only to know, it's not enough. You need to learn and practice what you learn. And always give the credit to the person who taught you what you just say. Don't steal the credit. Whose idea is this? Me? Who? No, you're a liar. The student 2 hours ago just told you that. Why you don't give him the credit? Nobody will respect you. You're learning from a 10 years old kid in a class? Yes. I learn from the kid. What's the problem? You should know, I just mentioned 48 things here. We did it quick. You can give a 5 hours lecture just about this. I have to know one thing. For those of you who thought that life is vacations and going to work every day and make as much as money as possible and just have children and, you know, like the American way, maybe finally it's time to wake up. We are now before the most critical and difficult time in the history of this world. What's going to happen in the next few years in the world, what happened until today, include the Holocaust, include the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, include all the pogroms that the Jews have, it's nothing compared to what we're going to have in the next few years. It's already started. I hope you're not blind to see what's happening in this country. What's happening in Israel with the Muslims, with the Arabs, with the Americans going bankrupt. The dollar went down to the bottom. It has no value. People that have hundreds of millions here, when they want to run out of here, their money will be worthless. It will go to nothing. That's what happened to Russia. You went to sleep with $100 million. You woke up in the morning and became $10,000. That's it. 50 years of saving went down the tube. The situation is very bad. 2 shoes were burned in Miami.
They hung a cross at Rabbi Aderet Shul in Great Neck. 90% of Great Neck is Jews. They took a $100 fancy cross and hung it on the door of the shul. There are comments that they say that the Jews destroyed the economy here. Greenspan and Bernanke and this Jew and that Jew. And the worst is that they beginning to say that all the problems that America has come from Israel. Because we supported Israel, we got into this conflict with Iran, with the Arabs, with Russia, with the whole world. The Jews is the reason for everything. It always was like that. It's nothing new. They are now moving into a worse and worse level. And the Gemara says, those days will come before Mashiach. En lanu al mi lismoch. We have nobody to count on. Only al avinu shebashamayim. Those who will be righteous, modest, generous, honest, work on their personality, learn a lot of Torah, change all the evil and get rid of it from themselves. Most important thing for ladies is modesty. Modesty is the tragedy of the generation. Problems come when the lady goes naked on the street. That's the problem. Kids are dying. Family are broken. Only from that they don't realize. What a tremendous sin is to walk like this on the street. If there's something God cannot stand, is lack of modesty. We're not talking the way they dress. Even a woman that just stands in between guys, fully modest, it's already a tragedy. I'm not talking the way they dress. That's a disaster. The Gemara never dreamed that there will be generation that ladies that call themselves religious will walk with such tight clothes and all these attached clothes that stretch to show every piece of her body and make sure that every guy would look at her when she go on the street. Tons of makeup, $5,000, not modest wigs. That's called religious girls. These religious girls, if they would live only 100 years ago and they will come to a Jewish neighborhood, in less than a minute they'll be dead. They'll take rocks and throw them and kill them. Don't come into this neighborhood. What do you mean? I'm religious. I'm Baal HaTshuva. I just came out of 5 years of Midrashiyah in Jerusalem. Baal HaTshuva. Look at you, how you dress. The problem with these girls, that most of them don't do it on purpose. They're so ignorant. They never learn the laws of modesty once in their life. Not once. Ask these girls here, if you know them. Did you open the book of modesty and learn everything from A to Z? No, there's such a thing? What do you mean? There's instruction from A to Z about modesty, what we're allowed to wear, what we're not allowed to wear, what we're allowed to say, where we're allowed to go? I never knew. So how do you know how to be modest? The most important thing for you never learn once in your life. Never learn once in your life. So how are you going to be righteous? This is a scene that is different than all the other sins. Because if you don't keep Shabbat, you'll get punished. It's your responsibility. You don't eat kosher, you contaminate your soul. You lose. You don't respect your children and your wife, you lose. You're going to lose your marriage. You steal, you lose. When you walk not modest in the street, millions of people losing with you. And you have to pay compensation to each one of them. Where are you going to find them? Where are you going to find these 1,000 Guidos that look at you today on the street? Each one of them is going to get punished because of you, and you will get punished for each one of them separately. Where are you going to find them? Where are you going to find them to apologize? And if you're beautiful, you have a bigger problem. Because if you're ugly, you're lucky. Not that many people look at you. Thank you, God, you made me so ugly. Ah, if I only knew that it's a great thing. I get saved from so many sins because I try to make a sin. But nobody is interested to look at me. Today, they're upset about this. You see, I went like this, provocative on the street. Now one guy looked at me in the party. When the time comes, she said, Hashem, if I only knew, I would ask you to make me uglier than the dog. Why? You saved me from all the sins. All these beautiful ladies live in such an illusion. You think I'm fanatic? You have no idea how lenient I am. You have no idea. If you really read the instruction in a book, in the halacha, you'll be amazed. A woman that walked 1 minute out of her house without covering her hair, she loses all her rights. All her rights. If her husband wrote to her in the time of the marriage $10 million in a ketubah, and then he's going to give her the house in Miami and the house in Israel and 5 cars and every and the jewelry, in 1 second that she stepped out of the house, 2 witnesses saw her without covering her hair or half cover, right away she lost everything. She goes to the court, the rabbi say, you lost all your rights. Show me one woman that knows it. That's the halakha. That's the law. There's a lot to learn. It's time to wake up. When the time of Gog Magog and the Mashiach will come, you're gonna thank me billions of times for waking you up. And believe me, all these jokes that you heard here and there, you're gonna say, what a waste of time it was. The Torah lecture was meant for us to learn how we have to behave. What gets Hashem upset? What's creating us problems? How we saving our children? How we make our marriage better? How we make our Shabbat better? How we clean our mind from all the dirty stuff that it's in it? How we purify our souls? How we gain as many mitzvot as we can? That in the end, we will be the lucky ones forever. Ezrat Hashem, my only wish is if half of what I say today settled in your mind, depend which category you're from. If half of it settle in your mind and you translate it into actions tomorrow morning, Baruch Hashem, was a great achievement. Thank you very much for everyone.